Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit this Christmas season. And if this is your first time here, I just want to do a little recap. We've talked about patience. Pastor Caleb brought a phenomenal message on patience that's still convicting me to this day, especially in my marriage. We also talked about bulletproof peace, which was really powerful. And today we're going to be talking about one more fruit that is similar to a carol we sang this morning. But first, before I even get into my opener that I always do, I just want to welcome. I've seen a couple faces that I haven't seen in months. So if that's you, we just want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're back in the area. It is really a joy to be with you this morning. I ran into someone in the foyer shutting the door, and it was like a family reunion out there. All right. Why did the little drummer boy put his drum to bed? It was beat. Oh, someone said that over there. Someone's got a drummer. There it is. All right. Okay. Why is everyone thirsty at the North Pole? Noel. Aha. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, we can get into the Word of God here. As I said, one of my favorite things is looking back over the year. And have you ever gotten to the end of the year, maybe this is you this year, and thought, what actually even happened? Have you ever like gone to celebrate and then you got kind of discouraged because you actually couldn't think of anything? Well, that's part of the reason why I like the habit of actually intentionally looking back, because sometimes you get on this track and you don't even know what happened. So I encourage you over the next couple weeks, just take a moment and just think, God, what's one thing that I can be thankful for to you? Maybe this year was a hard year. Maybe this year was an easy year. But no matter what, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. And so there's always something to find in there. And so I pray that you're able to do that. It took me a second, not because it was a horrible year, but just because it got really blurred. But it's good to stop and pause and be still and know that God is God. Amen. But one of the cool things that I did with a little math help from my husband was find out that we did 45 personal Bible studies off of our Sunday messages. That's a lot of Bible studies. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I just want to remind you, every single Sunday, we find a Bible study that already exists. Maybe in the new time, we'll write some. But currently, we find one that already exists that goes off of the message that was just preached. And it's on a handout normally. But I think today, it's just on the Bible app. Unless I can print it out here. We were here a little bit late prepping for the Christmas play. But you just scan the QR code on even the offering envelope will take you right there. And it's on the YouVersion Bible app. And every day you can unpack what we talked about on Sunday morning in the scripture on your own time. You can do it with a friend, a spouse, a child, a coworker, or just yourself and encounter God. Isn't that amazing? So I just wanted to remind you guys and maybe put that as one of your New Year resolutions to do that this coming year, because we're going to keep it up. So today we're doing All I Want for Christmas Is the Fruit of Joy. Who wants to open some joy on Christmas morning? Can you think back? Is there a specific Christmas memory where you felt the most joy? Exactly. That is exactly. Maybe this year. I'm feeling this could be the year for you, sir. One of my very favorite Christmas memories that brought joy was right here. In fact, if I remember correctly, let's see, there was a center aisle, and someone was standing right here, and it was Christmas Eve. And if you were here with us this Christmas Eve, you'll know where I'm going. But Pastor Tom, so this Christmas Eve, we're going to do a candlelight service. And we've done this for as long as I've been here, and I've been here for like 25 years or so, or more. And so we'll do a candlelight carol at the end, you know, not the whole time. If you have a child, you can come. It's family friendly. And Pastor Tom was standing right here, and we had just done Silent Night. And it was this holy, peaceful moment. And the lights were off, and Pastor Tom started into his long prayer. Who remembers some Pastor Tom prayers? Who wants some more Pastor Tom prayers? Anybody want some more? All right, 2025. We get some more prayers out of you. They're beautiful. And so he's praying and he closes his eyes. I try to pray with my eyes open when I got the mic just to make sure, right? Probably because of this slightly traumatizing, joyful memory. So he closes his eyes and he's holding his candle and there's a little paper, you know, ring around it. And it catches on fire. And 5 foot, I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating here. It was before we live streamed or we would have gone viral. It would have been awesome. Shooting flames as Pastor Tom is standing right here, and he just keeps praying. And Pastor Jordy is standing here, and if anyone knows her, she's, you know, she's more enthusiastic, more participatory. So she jumps up and she runs over to Pastor Tom, knocks the candle out of his hand, it falls to the ground, burns a hole through the carpet, and she starts doing a wild woman dance, kind of like if we're in a more of a Pentecostal church, you know? She's going like this, trying to stomp the flame out, and guess what Pastor Tom said? I had it under control. I was still praying. And that's their marriage, probably in a nutshell, right? And if you don't know, they're my parents, so I am allowed to say that. They're happily married for almost, I don't even know how long, many years. We'll put it out there. Anyway, that was a very joyful, silent night, right? Another joyful moment. I was going to show this off, but I don't see where it went. Do you know where it went, Damon? I think, where is it? Oh, there it is. This was one of my joyful moments this morning. We got a handmade, is it, would that be the proper way of wording it? Okay, handmade sign by Damon this morning. Isn't this gorgeous? Tell you what, I almost shed a tear. Isn't that gorgeous? I don't know where we're putting it yet, Damon, but we got to put it in a right spot. So I'm going to hand this to Caleb. I don't want to break it. I touched it and Brian was like, get your fingerprint off of it. I was like, okay. But how many know that sometimes the gifts that surprise us are the most joyful, right? Those moments that sneak up on us, and maybe they shouldn't even be joyful, but they bring the most joy, or maybe it's the hardest work and it produces the most joy. Amen? So never underestimate what you're giving to someone this year. Maybe you don't feel like you have a lot to give, but you can give the gift of hope and the gift of joy. Amen? Heard this on the radio this week. Someone heard this and gave me a call. I loved it. The fruit of the Spirit have been improving relationships for over 2,000 years. Isn't that great, if you really think about it? So does Galatians 5 say, but the fruit of your good works? No. How about the fruit of your good intentions? How about the fruit of working really hard? Or the fruit of getting it perfect? Or how about just this, if we're really honest, the fruit of getting it better than the person next to you? No, not at all. That is not what the Word of God says. Galatians 5, 22 through 24, but the Holy Spirit, can everyone just say the Holy Spirit? If this is your first time here, we like to sometimes repeat things just to stay awake. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy. Everyone say joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or as we talked about last week, strength of spirit or inner strength. There is no law against these things. So the direct action or result of Holy Spirit inside of you, of Emmanuel God with us, is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the greatest gift. Amen. So we've been talking about the fruit, and I'm just going to add in a couple fruitcake fun facts before we get into the serious stuff here. The world's largest fruitcake was made in Germany in 2014 and weighed 9,500 pounds and was 39 feet long and 26 feet wide. I believe that's a little bit like the length of our sanctuary, at least where the chairs are, because Brian measured it. In 2007, a group of Boeing engineers set the record for the highest fruitcake toss at 1,400 feet. I hope our tax dollars are not going to some of this. In 2017, this one's crazy, a 106-year-old fruitcake left behind by members of a 1910 Antarctic expedition was unearthed from one of the continent's first buildings. So, if you're wondering, what in the world does that have to do with me? Let's just go here. The impact of the fruit of the Spirit can last longer than your lifespan, be bigger than you ever dreamed, and survive all altitudes of life. Long after you live, the fruit of the Spirit that is shown in your life can be remembered by generations to come. They might not remember all about you, but they might remember, man, I always just felt peace when I was with them. I always felt loved when I was with them. And it's one of the greatest gifts. So today we are talking about joy, a new reality to the world. And I think it's important to recognize that joy is not held back for anyone due to any physical or mental health status. It is not an emotion, but it is a reality shift that everyone can access through Jesus. This is so important because Jesus didn't die for only some of us to access the fruit of the Spirit, but everyone who chooses to live in relationship with him. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is not a personality type. It's not a health diagnosis. It's not an economic status, and it's not a season of life. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the effect of walking in relationship with God. Everyone here has access through Jesus. Isn't that good news? If that's all you get out of today, Jesus said joy to all. Amen? So that word joy means gladness and delight. And in the root of it, in one of the commentaries, it says, in the New Testament, that word is used, the root of it, is used to describe a deep, abiding sense of joy and gladness that is rooted in spiritual reality rather than external circumstances. This joy is a fruit of the Spirit and is characterized by a sense of inner peace and contentment and transcends worldly troubles. How many need some of that kind of joy this Christmas? Amen? I love this. A merry heart is good medicine. Who's heard that, right? So it's proven that laughter, according to something I saw, I try to research a couple sites to make sure when I do facts like this, but apparently laughter burns more calories than moderate exercise. So put on some funny Christmas entertainment, maybe to laugh a little bit. It increases immunity and it reduces stress levels. And laughter releases endorphins. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our health. It's actually healthy to laugh. Isn't that great? But what I realized was in order to have patience, we've been saying this, you need to have some peace, right? And in order to keep that peace, you need some inner strength. But we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah 8:10, right? And I was trying to figure out, okay, well, why is the joy of the Lord our strength? But how many know that when you're dealing with something hard, but you have something to look forward to, it can pull you through, right? Have you ever been there? Like when you're at the grocery store and you are famished, I know this isn't a real hardship, but if you're really hungry and you feel like, you know what, I'm just going to grab this that I don't even want to eat, but I'm hungry. But then you realize that someone's cooking you a gourmet dinner and it's coming up, you're going to wait to save that appetite, right? And I love this because in Hebrews 12:2 it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The promise of eternity with you and with me was the joy set before Jesus to endure the cross. He saw our faces. He knew us before time began, and he said, you're worth it. You're worth it for the joy set before me. It became his strength. Isn't that powerful? Steve Backlund, who's a pastor who's visited here, and he has a whole ministry about releasing hope and joy in the Word of God, says, our spiritual load-bearing capacity is in direct proportion to our level of joy. Happiness comes from what happens to us, while joy comes from what we know. Christmas, for some of us, is not the most joyful time of the year. Have you ever, well, we just sang joy to the world, right? And maybe for some of us, I've been here, it feels like a slap on the face, right? You're singing it and it's like, joy to the world. It's kind of like you're getting slapped around because it's like, oop, I got to put a smile on my face. I got to perform. I got the pressure because I'm a Christian, right? joy becomes this performance-based thing. Instead of joy being an invitation to rest in a greater reality than we can see or feel, no matter what is going on. That's what it's about, right? Not strive for something to happen or be victim when it doesn't. Because happiness happens to you. And I'll tell you, I haven't had a ton of happiness happen in every week this year all the time, but I've had a lot of joy because I can rest in a greater reality than what I can see or feel. Amen? I've often heard Thrive is a place where people can be real. Maybe you've said that to me or I've said it to you. But never forget that your realness isn't more real than God's realness for you and in you. Amen. You can be real, but you better be excited because a real God's going to encounter you right there. And it's good. He'll encounter you in a good way, not in a scary way, right? Have you ever been like, I'm a realist. I'm not a dreamer. Anybody? I'm a realist too, but I'm a realist in the reality of his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, right? So Joy to the World was penned by Isaac Watts in 1719. It's based actually on Psalm 98. So if you're looking for a little Bible study this week, you can open up Psalm 98. It was part of a collection of poems based on the Psalms interpreted through the eyes of Jesus that was penned by Isaac Watts. But what I started realizing as I was writing it was maybe the song you've had stuck in your head sounds more like stress to the world, right? Or maybe anxiety to the world or shame to the world, if we're really honest, right? Or how about this? Joy from the world. Wait a second. It's joy to the world, right? And what I realized was you can't really have joy to the world until you realize there's a deeper reality than what we see. It's a new reality to the world. I wish that's what the lyric's saying, because that's no longer a slap in my face if I don't feel happy. It's actually an invitation to walk in a greater reality than what I can see. Are you following this morning? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that word truth also means reality. So we're saying, Jesus is saying, I am the reality. There's a new reality to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Doesn't that change the song just a little bit? So my question is, what area are you not experiencing joy? And what is God's reality that he's inviting you to in that area, right? And just as I wrap up here, I'm going to just look very briefly at the shepherds, because there are a couple unsuspecting Bible heroes that really show accessing another reality. So we're just going to kind of speed through here in Luke 2. You can open up your Bible to Luke 2 because we're going to kind of land there just as we close out for just a few minutes. As you're getting there, I'm going to start just so we can get through. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. That's Luke 2, verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields, guarding their flocks of sheep by night. And they were near Bethlehem. It's the fields surrounding Bethlehem. I went to Bethlehem once, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life, not because of Bethlehem, but I got the worst flu I've ever had in my existence. I thought I was going to die. So I saw Bethlehem through a bed. But in order to get to the bed, we did drive through the hills surrounding Bethlehem, where the shepherds would have been. So I remember the fields around. My folks got to go around and see all the sights in Bethlehem. It's a pretty dangerous place, or it was back then. I'm sure it still is. But it's really beautiful. And I don't know if you remember last week, but Bethlehem is about the size of Freeville. So again, remember, we're in local territory here. You should feel at home for Christmas. But the kind of shepherds that didn't take their sheep into the sheepfolds for the night, remember, they were watching their sheep at night outside, were the temple herdsmen. So there's some historical research that suggests that the shepherds were in charge of raising the sacrificial lambs for people's sins in those fields. And these sheep had to be kept outside for an entire year and couldn't have any blemish or injury. And then they were taken to Jerusalem to be sacrificed. So the shepherds had a very important job, but they were despised. Shepherds were so despised that some of the law forbade people from even buying anything from them. They weren't to interact. They were known as thieves, and they weren't even allowed to worship in the temple. Isn't it incredible that the very ones not allowed to worship in the temple are some of the first ones to ever encounter the living temple, where there was no separation? Isn't that incredible? If you feel like you're here and you're like, I don't even know why I'm here this morning. Well, the shepherds felt the same way. And they were despised by everybody. But they were chosen by God. From the very beginning, God has always been about revealing himself to the very ones the religious rejected. That's why on the wall you might have noticed, well, actually you didn't notice because there's a snow globe backdrop in front of it, but part of our mission is inviting people to forget dead religion. Not religion in the good sense, but dead religion, the kind that despises instead of inviting to the table of God for redemption, for life transformation. Amen? So continuing on in Luke, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. I needed our angel back in here. Don't be afraid. They said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to some people. No, I don't think so. To all people. Everyone say, I'm part of the all. That's a big all. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Before there was ever a joy to the world, there was a fear not. Because if you think about these shepherds were despised, they were rejected, they were known as thieves, and an angel shows up to them. What's their first thought? We're going to heaven. This is going to be a party. Let's go to church. Probably not. They've never had an experience that was positive, most likely, of encountering God or anybody that represented God. That's just conjecture, but it kind of makes sense if you look at it historically. And so the angel said, fear not. I want to encourage you this Christmas, whether this is for you or someone you encounter at Christmas time, that you know, saying joy to the world or saying God loves you or just being the hands and feet of Jesus without opening your mouth, sometimes we have to say fear not in our actions because the love of God is going to come out, right? Joy to the world. But sometimes people aren't expecting joy to the world to be the next thing when an angel shows up, right? Or when they get invited to church or to participate in something. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, right? The shepherd's reality of shame, of hard work, of rough elements and rejection was interrupted by a suddenly of God's presence, joy, and purpose. And last week, we talked about four areas where we can be the most tempted, where we can be the most broken. And these four areas was comfort, value, belonging, and purpose. So these are four areas of need that we all have. And we'll talk about more of these in the new year. But comfort, value, belonging, and purpose. And I love this because the angel spoke right to their needs. And you have to understand, as shepherds, they may have never had their needs met. And you might feel this morning like you have never had one of these needs truly met. But Jesus knew how to meet every need. And the shepherds, you know, they weren't saying, I want what's owed to me, right? They weren't entitled shepherds. They were grateful. And so I want to encourage you to keep that posture of gratitude this Christmas, not just saying, I want what's, you know, anybody ever get a little entitled on Christmas morning? I didn't get the gift that I wanted, right? I'm sure none of you, you're all more holy than me, but sometimes I'm like, that's the wrong size package, right? Let's be honest. But Jesus just wanted to meet the need freely, right? It's a free gift. For comfort, the angel said, fear not. For value, the angel said, God chose you, right? He said, God chose to show up to the angels. That's a huge value. For belonging, joy to all, right? And for purpose, go to Jesus. If you're looking for purpose this Christmas, start by going to Jesus. And what does that look like? You don't need to go on some world trip. You just need to say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and my King, right? And just receive him. Joy to all. But how many have heard whispers of lies, like I'm sure the shepherds did? I'm not worthy of joy. I have to arrive somewhere first before I can have joy. How about, if I have joy, people will think everything's fine when it's not. That's a good one. If I have joy, no one will help me when I really need it. Or it's an inconvenient time to have joy. It's kind of always an inconvenient time until we're in heaven, right? But it's so easy to believe these lies instead of saying, Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us, would you produce joy? Would you remind me of a greater reality, the reality of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life this Christmas? Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? As I said, oftentimes we can be told, oh, we see someone with joy and we think, oh, they don't really understand the picture of what's really happening. Because if they understood what was happening, they would not have joy. Have you ever thought that about somebody or maybe about yourself, right? Reality hasn't set in. Just wait till reality sets in. But maybe the opposite has happened. A greater reality has set in. So when you stop and think, oh, like, just wait for the next thing to fall, or, oh, they're just being naive. Instead of that, or I'm just being naive, pause and say, Jesus, what is your greater reality here? I'll give you a secret. It has to do with eternity. There is nothing on earth that is bigger than the power of the cross. There is nothing on earth that you will encounter that is stronger than the power of the cross and the power of the life of Jesus that he gave freely for each one of us. Nothing. And so joy to all people. Amen. So this Christmas week, God is saying to you, fear not. You have good news. You have a new reality. You can have possible in the impossible. You can have love in the loneliness. You can have wholeness in the brokenness. You can have patience in the process because a Savior has been born for you. Joy to your world. Joy to everyone's world that you encounter this week. A new reality for you and a new reality that you can share with others. A new level of strength because you know God is working behind the scenes. He's working in front of the scenes and he's got eternity with you in his heart, and it can be in your heart too. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I just want to invite you. It's the greatest Christmas gift you can ever receive and you can ever share with someone. So I'm just going to say a prayer, and if that's you, I just want to invite you to say it with me, and then I'll say a Christmas blessing here to close out. So if this is your first time praying this, or you want to rededicate your life to God, just say, Jesus, be my Savior. I surrender my life to you. I receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. It's just the start of a journey. You've just opened the door to him in your heart. So God, we just thank you that joy is for all the world. And God, we don't stick our head in the sand, but we also know that there is a greater reality happening. And we choose this Christmas to rest and to trust in your love, to welcome your healing into the broken areas of our heart, God, so that we don't put joy on as a pressure or as a performance, but we put joy on authentically. It's a resting in you as the truth, as the way, and as the life. Not just for us, but for everyone we interact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.